Yo, yo, it's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, right here on CBS Sports Radio from our Kansas City affiliate, Sports Radio 610. This place is awesome, Hickey. Let me tell you, I know we have Dunkin' Donuts in our office, which I absolutely love, but sometimes the food spread is lacking. Now, there are certain hosts that do get a lot of food ordered in, and we usually get the scraps, us being the savages at night. Or they just probably look at us like rats. They're like, oh, we'll leave this food out there and the rats will get it. But you look at this setup here in Kansas City, the snacks, the meals that they have, all the Gatorades and the waters. This is a pretty impressive setup that they have here in Kansas City to start off our NFL draft coverage with our show today. And then tomorrow we will be anchoring the first round, myself, JR from the JR Sport Brief, in addition with Andrew Perloff from the Maggie and Perloff Show. And then on Friday, we'll have one more show from KC, and we'll be all fat off of barbecue because they're having a big lunch tomorrow at Joe's, and we're going to get the legendary Z-Man sandwich, which is brisket, and there's cheese on it, and there's an onion ring on it. And I'm sure Hickey will probably ask for some boneless ribs or something like that because you're a boneless type of guy. And then on Friday, we're doing a big station lunch together at this place called Q39. So we're going to be really fat on Friday, or in my case, fatter than I already am. And you'll even look like less of a string bean, and you'll be a plumped string bean, I guess we could say. And we'll have some fun, and we'll do that final draft show on Friday. And it will be just be yours truly along with JR. But the setup around here, I could see why Boomer Esiason once got a little bit confused and not realizing that all this stuff is free. Because I walked in, I'm like, whoa, I'm going to have to move out here to Kansas City with all this free food that they have at work. But then I saw that there was a little machine that you have to scan things and then pay for it.
Do you think people pay for it here?
Yes, I think there's, unlike people in the East Coast.
I'm not calling people that work here bad. I'm just saying, I think if you just provide a room full of food and there's like a cashier checkout, that self-checkout, and you put 10 people in there, I bet you 7 people randomly would take the food, walk out without paying.
Well, I'm sure there's also inventory here that they do keep up on. And I'm sure everything is scanned in and they find out what isn't scanned out. And there are cameras all around this place. So don't be a pain in the ass. Don't be someone that we're going to have to throw in the slammer tonight because you're stealing from our own company. Don't do that. Don't get any ideas.
I went to Catholic school. I would never steal.
What does that mean?
The nuns, they hit you on the wrists. They say no stealing, and I will not steal.
You never got hit on the wrist.
Well, I didn't have any nuns as teacher. I had one nun in high school as a teacher.
It's not like you went to school in 1955 when you would expect the rulers to get slammed at you. You graduated high school in 2012.
No racers to the head. Like, I've heard some horror stories as well. So it was admittedly a little different than maybe the 1930s.
You
but
probably get abused more on this show than you ever did at Catholic school. Let's be real.
Well,
if I had an eraser,
true.
I would throw an eraser at your head every day.
What?
Yeah.
I put a helmet on.
No, you wouldn't need to. Your hair would just
block
it.
Well, that's the issue with this studio. There's no glass in between us. Back in New York City, there's a nice wall of glass. If you ever were to throw something at me, there's two panes of glass. So you got to really Clemens 100-mile-an-hour fastball through there.
Let me try this.
Whereas now, there is no barrier.
Oh, this is a glass mug.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about, folks. This is what I got to deal with every single day now.
No.
And now there's no barrier. So thankfully, we're here for one night and one night only. I can be on my best behavior, get out. Fully unscathed.
This is a windscreen. Let me just throw a windscreen at you.
No,
this is soft. It's
soft. I don't
want
anything thrown at me.
It's
There's
soft.
No reason to be throwing
See?
Anything.
Every guy just hit Hickey in the face with a windscreen. Can I get that back, by the way?
Well, now it's on the ground, and I may have to step on it now.
Oh, don't do that. That's not nice. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, Jordan Addison will join us. The former Pitt and USC wide receiver, Jackson Smith and Jigba, will join us at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. And Christian Gonzalez, who did play at Colorado and also Oregon, quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth, will join us coming up at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. But without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu, it's time to update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to the news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Aaron Rodgers, new Jets quarterback with a new number 8. This is why Aaron Rodgers wanted to play for the JTS Jets, Jets, Jets.
I enjoyed the meeting with, you know, Woody and Christopher came out. These two guys, Hack, Jaime, and I just got a great feel with all those guys about the possibility. And as I leaned into it, getting back into some more strenuous workouts, I just really believe that this was where I was supposed to be.
I think it's two things here, Hickey. He wanted to be loved again, and he knew that Gutekunst and LaFleur didn't love him anymore with their pick from a few years ago of Jordan Love. And the other thing is, I don't buy for a single second that he was 90% close to retiring, but who else really wanted Aaron Rodgers? Like, in a bizarre way, it's a weird question to ask because you think someone else would want Aaron Rodgers, but you never really heard of another team. I know the Raiders were mentioned, and on McAfee, he basically said, like, yeah, he would love to play with Davante Adams again, but we never heard the Raiders seriously get interested. The 49ers would have made sense, but it never seemed like they really contemplated it. It seemed like this was really just the Jets or go retire.
And it's very convenient. I knew this is where I wanted to be, the Jets. Well, part of the reason why you knew where you wanted to be is because, like you said, there's really no other suitors. It was the Jets or bust.
And now we've seen this with two legendary quarterbacks. And I know Brady was free agency and Rodgers was via trade. But when Brady hit free agency, there weren't a ton of suitors. I know the Bucs were in play. Clearly, that's where he ended up going. People thought maybe Tennessee, but before free agency started, they did give that four-year contract extension to Ryan Tannehill, suckas. And then Dana White was saying that he thought Brady was going to be a Raider, and then Mark Davis was like, no, not so fast. So we see it when quarterbacks get older, and there's a lot of money here, even though they're legendary quarterbacks, there's not always multiple teams that are seriously interested. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers. Once again, who wants to bring the Jets to Super Bowl? Let's listen to this sound.
I grew up watching old VHS tapes of the Super Bowls. And so obviously I know about the guarantee and Broadway Joe. Been a while since then. I noticed walking in this morning that Super Bowl III trophy is looking a little lonely.
I call LeBron BS there, Hickey. You think Aaron Rodgers is actually watching VHS tapes of Super Bowl III?
Trying to do the math here. So he's 38, 39. That was back in 1969. So that's probably, well, 20 years before his time. Hard to buy that.
Now, I do think he probably have seen the video that every Tom, Dick, and Harry has seen of Namath at the pool. He's like, yeah, I guarantee it and all that, holding court. And I'm sure there's some NFL Films thing that he's seen, but there's no way he's watching VHS tapes of the Jets Super Bowl III performance.
At least he knows history now. Not a lot of history to know, but he...
You know what that is?
That's comes in prepared.
That's like when a new football coach comes in and he's going to a new city and he starts to know every single fact about the city and he just makes like the references from the 70s or the 80s to sound cool. Aaron Rodgers is incredibly excited to get to work with the JTS Jets, Jets, Jets.
I've definitely been a part of an incredible organization that has had a lot of success. You know, 4 Super Bowls, 13 championships. This team has won 1 Super Bowl and it's been a while. So to be a part of bringing things back would be incredible. I just think the excitement level is so high. I can feel it from my new teammates and the way that they were, you know, texting with me. I can see it in the fans, not just the Mike Greenbergs of the world, but everybody is excited about this. I am the same way. I can't wait. I just want to get going. And it's going to be an exciting journey. So just to be a part of that's amazing. Obviously, to be a part of getting this team back where it deserves would be legendary. And that's what I think we all want to be about is legendary things.
Let's hear two more from Aaron Rodgers. Now he is wearing the number 8. And this is why Aaron Rodgers, because he's a student of the game and watches all those VHS tapes on why he didn't wear number 12.
There's some iconic names that have played here, probably none more iconic than number 12. And I heard what he said about unretiring his number, but to me, 12 is Broadway Joe, and I didn't want to even go down that path, and I'm excited about going back to my college number. But there's something special about playing in the city for a team like this. With a storied franchise, and the, you know, obviously going way, way back to Super Bowl III, to be a part of something special would definitely help you go down in the history of an organization. Already have 18 years in an incredibly iconic organization, and it'd be fun to be a part of the history of this one as well.
Let's go to Joe Douglas, who says he felt like Ricky Bobby in the press conference.
It's surreal. It's absolutely surreal. It's like, I was sitting at a press conference. I felt like Ricky Bobby. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I was just kind of grabbing my legs. But to have a first ballot Hall of Famer that wanted to be here and then us getting it done, it's surreal sitting next to him at that press conference. We're all so excited.
Here's the thing, Hickey, and you've seen this a lot of times. I know the NFL is different, but you see it a bunch of times in the NBA. You get a star player and like all the work of the GM and the coach that they did in the past means nothing because you're handing the keys over to the franchise. I'm not saying it's a mistake by Joe Douglas because it's almost impossible to mess up this day. But to basically show that you are a fat kid in a candy store right now, we know that this is Rodgers' organization and everything's working out well right now in like the less than 24 hours that he's officially been a Jet and been introduced as a Jet. But what happens when Aaron Rodgers hears the word no? That's when we get to see how all in Aaron Rodgers actually will be.
Coaches, GMs are usually, for the most part, pretty monotone, usually like to take things, you know, into perspective, don't get overly excited or overly negative. The last time we heard a GM and or coach this excited, I want to put you on the spot here. Do you recall the press conference? We heard a GM or coach be almost impossible to contain themselves.
I was going to say Sean Marks, but the Nets never had an introductory press conference for Kevin
that
Durant and
correct.
Kyrie Irving.
That is a big move.
Can I get a hint here?
NFL.
NFL.
Star quarterback trade.
Star quarterback. Oh, this was Nathaniel Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett.
With Russell Wilson.
Who was basically trying his best not to curse.
That was his
press
best moment as Broncos coach.
About how excited he was that Russell Wilson was coming to town, and it lasted, what, 14 games?
Well, Nathaniel Hackett is now the offensive coordinator and still best friend of Aaron Rodgers with the JTS Jets. And Nathaniel Hackett is going to get some revenge for his wrongful firing in Denver when the Jets go back and open up a can of whoop-ass in Mile High. Oh, that's good. Have you ever seen an offensive coordinator get booed when he returns someplace? Like, I can't even remember that, but that's going to be the case in Denver when Nathaniel Hackett goes back. Nathaniel Hackett, of course, he's just grateful for the opportunity to work with Aaron Rodgers again. And I know Rodgers won't like this joke that I'm about to make, because it's probably the only reason why he has a job in the league, because the Jets knew the only way they had a chance to get Rodgers was probably bring in Nathaniel Hackett. Let's hear Nathaniel Hackett.
I love the guy. You know, I mean, we've had some great times together and some up and downs, all that stuff. And I think whenever you go through those experiences together, you know, you create a bond. And, you know, he means the world to me. I'm happy he's in my life.
Serious question here, Hickey. Do you think Nathaniel Hackett picks up Aaron Rodgers' coffee in the morning?
Probably. Honestly. If Aaron Rodgers asked, he's doing it.
I need a ride to the latest darkness cave for the darkness retreat. Nathaniel Hackett, you're my Uber. Hey,
Aaron
Nathaniel
Rodgers
Hackett.
Aaron Rodgers says jump. He says how high.
I got to go a little trippy state. Can you get me the goods, Nathaniel Hackett? He does everything, Nathaniel Hackett, for Aaron Rodgers. Let's hear Dan Patrick on his show, The Dan Patrick Show, with Dan and the Danettes. He said the 49ers have considered acquiring Lamar Jackson.
I was told this yesterday. The Niners have monitored everything, including Lamar Jackson. They've explored that, or at least looked at it. They kicked the tires on that. And of course you should do that. Always, always try to improve.
So here's the question. How seriously have they monitored it? Because you could say you monitor something. You could say you've had a conversation about something. But did it ever go to the root of where you have John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan going to the York family and saying, well, you'd be willing to give him this amount of money on a contract and then have us surrender two first-round picks as well? Now, the Niners, right, they don't have a first-round pick this year. But I think do they have first-round pick? I think they do have one next year. I believe that they do have first-round pick.
This is the last year that it runs
from the Lance deal.
Yes.
So you'd have to wait until after the draft anyway, but we're literally at the draft right now in Kansas City, which does come your way tomorrow night. So I wonder, with the longer this goes on, and I wouldn't throw out of the realm of possibilities if Lamar Jackson overtakes the draft tomorrow night and maybe just announces that he has an extension with the Baltimore Ravens, because he sent out some cryptic tweet last night where I've always said we need emoji analysis or meme analysis people and just have them be an analyst, because I'm trying to interpret what this meme was last night and or GIF, whatever you want to call it. And I look at Lamar, maybe he finally gets a deal done and already has it done, but he says, I don't want to announce it until the draft. So who knows? But at this point, I think it's unlikely that the Niners are going to add him. But it does make a lot of logical sense, just because of the fact you're really going to roll into this year with Sam Darnold or Trey Lance week one with Brock Purdy injured. And even so, you don't know what Brock Purdy actually is going to be, even though he did have some success at the end of the season. CJ Stroud says he is not concerned about his low Wonderlic score.
I'm not a test taker, so I don't play football for me. But at the end of the day, man, I don't got nothing to prove to nobody. So I'm not going to sit here and explain how I process football. The people who are making the picks know what I can do. So that's all that matters to me. There's a whole bunch of people who know how to coach better, know the quarterback better, know how to do everything on social media. But a man in the arena, that's what's tough, is stepping in the arena 10 toes. So, and I'm standing on that. And I know what I can do. I know I can process well. I know if I'm not the smartest quarterback in this draft, I know I'm one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL when I step in there tomorrow. So I got confidence in myself, and I don't think you can play at Ohio State and not be smart. So I don't got nothing to prove to nobody, man. At the end of the day, you don't trust and believe in me, all I can tell you is watch this.
So this is that new S2 test. I just like anytime anyone crushed someone for doing bad in the Wonder, look, I don't care. Like, I've seen enough tape on CJ Stroud. I'm not telling you he's great, but I know bare minimum that he's a very good quarterback, and I think a bunch of this is just nonsense or justification why you're not going to pick someone. I don't know where CJ Stroud's going to go into the draft, but I do think it's maybe, Hickey, the most fascinating story of this draft, where CJ Stroud is going to go, because all we know is Bryce Young's going one, and we don't know anything after that. Alrighty, Draymond Green. I heard this the other day. This was great. This is on his podcast, the Draymond Green Show. This is Draymond Green saying Harrison Barnes is still mad at him over KD coming to the Golden State Warriors all those years ago.
Harrison Barnes, I think to this day, still don't like me for KD coming here. And the reality is, bro, it's like, I didn't tell him to trade you to bring KD in. Now, the reality is, if KD did come in and you were still here, you would have had to come off the bench. It just is what it is. If you were still here, I didn't tell them to trade you. But he took it very personally because of the story that came out that I cried to KD in the car or whatever. He took it very personally at me. And so, for instance, this dude invite Steph them this wedding, Steph, Clay, everybody this wedding except me.
So, Hickey, I was actually thinking about this the other day. And let me just ask you this, and it was directly after I heard this clip. How many years have you been dating your girlfriend?
We've been together for 5 years.
5 years, and you guys have been living together for how long?
Just over a year.
So just over a year. So probably at some point, I would think in 2024, maybe not 2023 potentially, but by the end of 2024, you're probably engaged, correct, Amundo, you would think?
Sure, yeah. We're in no rush, but probably.
Wow, this is an awkward conversation for you. Your voice got really high
there. That's just, you know, yes, we'll go under that premise, sure, by 2024.
My sister dated her now husband for 10 years, and that was always like a question in like year five, year six. So when is the ring, you know, when is the ring going to be put on the finger? When's the question going to be popped? So I understand the sympathy of it, because I saw how my brother-in-law had to fight it off, like what you go through, because everyone probably asks you this question. This is nothing new, right?
Nothing new. Nothing new.
How many people from work do you think you're inviting? At the Hickey wedding, how many people do you think you would invite from work?
I mean, it depends on the budget. I got a big family. So
you do. The Hickeys roll like, what, 40 deep?
They roll 40 deep. So, I mean, I guess it depends when I'm getting married and if I hit the lottery, not beforehand.
Would I get an invite?
I'd like to think so, but I mean...
I'd like to think so. This is like Aaron Rodgers saying, I intend to show up to off-season workouts.
Now, intended to play for the Jets, and it came true. I'm just saying the radio producer's salary, not to play a small violin, because I chose the career, but it's not exactly... You get into it because of the money. So it's not exactly like I'm rolling in Benjamins here, ready to just, you know, have an unlimited budget for a wedding. So I have no idea what it costs. The thing is, I can't accurately discuss any sort of plans. I have no idea what it costs.
Two things.
A lot, though, I think.
I'm wondering if it's better on-air content if you don't invite me to your wedding.
So now you don't. So now, before you even get engaged, you are asking to not be invited.
No, I'm just asking, because I could, like, then use that as content, like, oh, wow, Hickey doesn't even like me. He didn't invite me to his wedding.
Or
I go, and then it's kind of like a fun event where there's some good on-air content from there as well, probably. I don't know what makes better content in this case.
Well, I'll say this. I plan on being bombed. So,
you got to get through the wedding first.
Well, of
course. Once the party starts, then you go crazy.
Say the vows, yeah. All that fun stuff, but no stuffy wedding stuff. We're going right for the party.
Oh, I'm there. So, I'll be doing the air saxophone.
Okay, so now you have confirmed you do want an invite. You're not going to uninvite yourself prematurely from a wedding that's not even right now scheduled and or happening in the future.
Yeah, I have two riders. I got to know two answers to these questions I have. Will there be pigs in the blanket at the wedding?
No pigs in the blanket.
I don't even want to go to this wedding, man. Will there be an open bar?
Oh, of course. Okay. Well, that's part of the fun. I'm not inviting people and then expecting them to pay their own hard-earned money to have a good time at my wedding.
I feel like Stu gets an invite to that wedding, right?
I don't
Gallo?
Know.
Gallo?
I don't know. I have no idea. I hope so. Say this. I hope so. I hope I could be a financial point where I can invite Stu and Gallo and whoever else wants to come. Hopefully people want to go. That's also the other thing.
Well, I also think that you should invite some people at work that you know wouldn't come just so you could get the gift, too.
That's a thing, though?
Yeah, like, if you invite DA with his big salary, DA's not coming to your wedding, probably.
That feels wrong, though.
Then I'll give you a nice check.
But that feels wrong. I don't like that.
Hey, Jim Rome! I've never met you. Even though we have met Jim at the Super Bowls, but I'll invite you to the wedding. See if we get like a $500 check.
5 years
check.
Ago, I shook your hand. Do you remember? I know you do. Anyway, you're invited. Let's go. You can't come. That's a shame. Well,
be a nice charity act, I will say.
Here is our registry. Thank you.
And finally, because I know we got to get to Jordan Addison in a few moments, Deion Sanders has no qualms with the massive roster overhaul at Colorado via the Pat McAfee Show.
People got to be crazy to think this just happens. It don't just happen. You make it happen. You know what you want. I don't pull up through a drive. I can't stand people who pull up through a drive-thru and don't know what they want. Before I get there, I know what I want.
Smart.
Right? I'm not just making this stuff up as we go. We know what we want, and I don't concede, man. I don't settle. I know what I want, and I know what I'm going to get.
Now, Deion Sanders, I believe in, has a lot of people now talking about Colorado football when no one was talking about Colorado football last year. I have no clue if what he's doing right now is right or wrong, but I'll tell you, anytime he speaks, he just makes me convinced that he knows what he's doing. Like, you could give him an answer, he could not really, or give you a question, really not give you an answer, and then you walk away, you're like, yeah, I don't know what he just said, but I'm in agreement with him because I just love the energy and the way that Deion Sanders does preach. Jordan Addison joins us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio at the NFL Draft, getting set for tomorrow's big night inside the P&G Style Lounge on behalf of Gillette. And now joining us from Pitt and USC, NFL wide receiver soon to be, coming up in 24 hours, that is Jordan Addison. Jordan, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Appreciate you doing this. So you had a great year, best wide receiver in the country at Pitt, and you just had a wonderful experience at USC. How do you look back at what was year one of Lincoln Riley at USC?
Oh, it was just a lot of fun. You know, a lot of excitement from the beginning, from before the season, just the buzz going around. And I feel like we did a good job of taking care of all that hype that was around us.
Caleb Williams, we know we're going to be talking about him nonstop. We did last year. We're going to do so this year. His stock, already people thinking he'll be the number one overall pick. What is it like to play with a player like Caleb Williams?
It just makes it easier on me, you know, having a great quarterback that can extend plays when something goes wrong, or the accuracy and the arm talent to make the catches easier for me. So just playing with him has just been everything. It's just all positive.
you know how big timing is and chemistry is and building those relationships. So many new names got to USC last year, and you guys had a pretty successful season. Why was everyone able to come together really quickly?
Because a lot of people going into that team was, you know, transfers. So we all was coming in like it was day one, like we was all freshmen. So we kind of leaned on each other and trusted each other to get through it. And it's always good having a brother right there going through it with you.
It's USC. It's totally different than Pitt. The brand, Lincoln Riley being there, Caleb Williams being there as well. What made you want to transfer and say, okay, I want to continue and wrap up my college football career at USC?
First, just the experience that I'll be able to experience going out to Southern California and connecting with people that I'll be able to connect with, making them connections. And then it was just, you know, the quarterback that they had. I talked to him a lot during that process. And then Lincoln Riley, the offense guru.
With Lincoln Riley, he had a wonderful career at Oklahoma, now taking on another challenge at USC. At Oklahoma, won a lot, but didn't win a national championship, didn't get even to a national championship game. It's big-time success what he did to bring USC back in year one, but where's your confidence level that Lincoln Riley can get the Trojans to hoist a college football playoff championship trophy?
Oh, they're going to be doing that real soon. Like you said, just with this year one, you see how close we got. We let it slip through our fingers, but that ain't going to keep happening. He's going to go get him one.
Jordan Addison here with us. 2 years ago, best wide receiver in the game. Now this year, people are wondering who that number one wide receiver is in this draft. Why are you the best wide receiver in this draft class?
Because I feel like I'm the most versatile. I can play inside and outside. And then when that pressure on the most is when I shine the brightest.
What has this experience been like ever since you wrapped up at USC and you say, okay, I'm going to pursue the NFL journey? There's so many different things that get thrown your way in this process. Some you control, some you can't. How do you look back at this process now with it coming to a close?
I always look back at it in a positive way because I know I only get one chance to do it. It's been nonstop since the season ended, but, you know, I've made a lot of relationships and I'm just enjoying the process.
Who have you had the most conversations with? Because everyone's trying to figure out where you're going to go in this draft.
You team-wise? I talk to pretty much every team, so I can't really point out one specific.
So you have no clue? Like, nothing would surprise you tomorrow night?
Nothing. I'm just hoping I get picked first receiver.
Jordan Addison here with us. What is it like? I know there's a bunch of wide receivers at this event right now. Quinnen Johnson's here. You have Jaxon Smith-Njigba as well, Zay Flowers. Getting to know these guys a little bit more, what's that been like for you?
It's been a lot of fun. You know, just seeing them on the field with their helmets on and stuff, you don't really know how they are personally. But everybody that's in this vicinity is good, great group of guys, great personality, and it's just been fun hanging around them.
How do you look back at your time at Pitt with Kenny Pickett and also Pat Narduzzi?
That was a great time. We won an ACC championship. Got a lot of friends still there currently. Belenikoff Award. So every time I look back, it's all positive.
When you look at playing with Kenny Pickett, he had a good year one in the NFL. What type of pro do you think he'll continue to develop into in the NFL?
I think he's going to be a top quarterback into the NFL. A lot of people might not see it, but just his work ethic and being around him and his confidence, I know he's going to show people that.
When did you know that Kenny Pickett was that dude?
Day one. When I first walked in, just the swagger he had about himself when he stepped on the field.
There's always these crazy things that get thrown out there throughout the draft process. For Kenny Pickett, it was his hands are small. And I was like, who cares? I just saw the way that he played in college at Pitt and what he was able to do, winning that ACC championship like you were talking about. When you look back at your draft process, was there anything that was thrown out there or said about you that annoyed you a little bit?
Probably just my size. That was probably just the main thing. But, you know, I'm going to show people I don't really got to say too much. I'm going to show them what I can do.
Wrapping up with Jordan Addison here, when you get to tomorrow night, you probably have so many emotions going through your body right now. If you just like take a deep breath and you're able to process this right now as you're one day away, just what's going through your head and how are you processing all this?
Really just trying to stay calm. I'm calm right now, but ain't no telling how I'm going to be tomorrow. So I'm just looking forward to it and enjoying this experience because not a lot of people get to do it.
How about the outfit? What's the outfit looking like tomorrow? Because the watch is really nice right now.
The outfit going to look sweet. Just stay tuned. I ain't going to say too much right now, but just tune in. Y'all tune in. Tune in.
All right. Tell me what you're doing today on behalf of Gillette.
Getting a clean shave, looking good, making sure I'm feeling good.
Yeah, of course, Jordan Addison inside the P&G Lounge. Before we let you run, growing up as a kid, what type of football fan were you?
Crazy football fan.
Like, who were some of your favorite players?
Players, I'll say Michael Vick, Odell Beckham, Randy Moss.
And also recently in the NFL, we've seen guys like Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase come on in and make that immediate impact right away. Day one, what does Jordan Addison bring to a football team?
Day one, Jordan Addison is bringing a lot of plays. I'm a playmaker. I'm going to be the same guy every day, you know, confident. And I'm trying to go to the playoffs, win Rookie of the Year. I'm trying to accomplish a lot.
Well, good luck. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he is, Jordan Addison, joining us. Ekel Pierre with you in Kansas City as we get set for the NFL draft. Back in our New York City studios is Chris Lopresti. And I want to go to CeeLo for just something real quickly, because CeeLo, I know, is one of the greatest Jets beat writers that we've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah, you were phenomenal.
That's high praise right there.
I think you're missed on the beat, quite frankly.
I think they do okay. They've got a lot of great names there. I will say this. I miss the beat at times. It was a fun 4 or 5 year run that I had, and enjoyed being around the team. But, you know, other things come up in the career, family, schedules, all that. But I do miss it sometimes.
Well, you were better than Peter Schwartz.
Listen, we're not gonna go slinging arrows at fellow coworkers here. You know what I mean?
Kidding. I'm just teasing.
I know.
Yeah,
it's all good.
But I wanted to ask you this: are you? I know that you covered the Jets.
Yeah.
Now you're far removed from that. Are you a Jets fan?
I enjoy this because I've had people over the years not know which side of the aisle I was on, which is a good sign. It means I did my job well.
Yeah.
No, I'm a Giant. I was raised a Giant fan, and when I say raised, it's not that I'm no longer a Giant fan. It's just that's what I grew up with. Come from a Giants house from as far back as I can remember. But I never, and it's the same for me with baseball as a Yankee fan. I never disliked the Mets. I never disliked the Jets. I guess because they play in either separate conferences, separate leagues. I just enjoy the New York aspect of things. So, yeah, if you give me a Jets-Giants matchup, of course I'm going to be pulling for the Giants. That's what my, you know, that's what my childhood was. That's how I was brought up. But I like to see the Jets do well. So, I mean, unfortunately for me, as I was arriving on the beat, was sort of the back end of the couple of years where they had it going well, the back-to-back AFC title games with Rex Ryan and company. And then as soon as I arrived, everything kind of went to you-know-what. So maybe I was partially responsible for it. But since I've left, things haven't exactly turned around. But now with Aaron Rodgers in the fold, at least they have a glimmer of hope heading into this season.
I don't think this is like the 80s or the 90s or the early 2000s where people are like, oh, the big bad New York media. I do think the media landscape is a little bit different now. Sure, some of the questions that get asked are absolutely ridiculous. But the reason why I wanted to bring you on here was you've been in the locker room. You've been in those press conferences before. I thought Rodgers hit it out of the park today. I know it's one thing to win the press conference. Then you got to ultimately win in New York for this to actually work. But do you think Rodgers dealing with the New York media just gets overblown a little bit?
Probably. I don't think it's the kind of thing that's really going to affect him or get under his skin. I think
bleep hits the fan.
Well, what I'd say is this: I don't think it'll be the media. Like, I don't see him starting a war with the media. I think he just is not someone that's going to cave and basically say what everyone wants to. You know, so like, I think sometimes he just calls it like it is. He has his opinion. Some of them are very strong. Some of them obviously have nothing to do with football at times. But I don't expect that to really change. I mean, it's a guy who's pushing 40. He's been in the league a long time. I understand he's playing in a small market in Green Bay, but I mean, think about football royalty there. It's all about the Green Bay Packers there, right? In New York, yeah, it's a big media market, but look at what we've got going on this time of year between the baseball teams. You've got the Knicks, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils all in the playoffs. You know, you got the NFL draft right now coming up tomorrow night is almost somewhat overlooked as far as New York sports goes, just because of everything else going on. Now, the Rodgers press conference today was a huge story for obvious reasons. And yes, I agree. I thought he hit it out of the park, other than the Packers stuff with the FaceTime and Gutekunst. That's sort of a separate story.
We didn't even talk about that yet.
Yeah.
That is a bunch of baloney. The Wi-Fi wasn't working in his house. Like, both sides, if they really wanted to talk together, probably could have got it done.
Yeah.
But if I had to put more blame on one side than the other, it's more so Rodgers, because I don't buy that, like, the Packers never reached out and they just, well, Rodgers may have been in the dark, but they didn't leave him in the dark.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Packers were ready to move on. Rodgers was either ready to retire or move on. Now it seems like he's, I don't know if rejuvenated is the right word.
He's got new life. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
because he actually has people that like him. Well, I don't want to say that they didn't like him in Green Bay, but it was he knew that they didn't believe in him anymore by drafting Jordan Love, so he thought they were out to get him. Now everyone's going to say yes to whatever Aaron Rodgers wants.
Yeah, it had run its course in Green Bay. This is sort of a fresh start. How long it lasts, we'll see. Obviously, things can change once they start playing games, and if, you know, they get off to a rough start and all of a sudden the media is on him, then the good vibes leave. But at least for the time being, I thought he looked great today. He sounded great. The fact that he's basically no questions asked is going to be involved in their offseason activities and program is a good sign.
Do you buy that, or do you detect some media BS there?
No, I don't. I mean, listen, the proof will be in the pudding. And some of those things are not open to the media, so there's no way to, like, take attendance. Mm-hmm. But I would think, look, I mean, he has a legacy here, not in New York, but a legacy in the NFL, not at stake. We know what he did in Green Bay can't be taken away. But everyone wants to go out the right way. So I would think, despite the fact that he knows the offense with Nathaniel Hackett, I'm sure there's going to be some differences from what they did in Green Bay. There is different personnel. Alan Lazard is here, but they have some other guys that he knows nothing about as far as working with them. So I would think now that this is done, he's not married. He doesn't have kids. He talked about wanting to find a place to live, so he's going to be in town trying to do that.
He's not dating the witch anymore,
too. Yeah, and you know, might as well. It's a nice facility. It's a nice area for those that, you know, have never been out to Florham Park in New Jersey where the Jets train. So I think there's a lot of positives from that sense, and I don't see why you wouldn't want to be involved. And this way, when training camp rolls around and the season rolls around, they can be, you know, as prepared as possible.
What are the Texans going to do at 2? We'll talk about that next. Still to come at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. You will not want to miss our conversation with Jackson Smith and Jigba. And at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, a guy that could be going to the top 10 of the draft, could be the first corner off the board, Christian Gonzalez. You just heard the voice of Crystal Pressley. Now let's get the latest CBS Sports Radio update with him right now. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, we have like a moment of truth tomorrow. This is a big step in our relationship as a show because we're going to the famous barbecue place out here called Joe's at the gas station. I think Carrington Harrison, who I saw, well, we're on his turf, so I don't want to say he's like just walking around here. We are at his home base. He said he's going to join us tomorrow. But that Z-Man sandwich sounds really good. Brisket, cheese on it. You have an onion ring. I also heard you got to try the seasoned fries and also the pulled pork. You got to come ready to eat tomorrow. Like, we went out for lunch today. It was a quick meal right out of the airport. Hickey ate like more of a man than I did. I just got a salad. I wanted to eat quickly. Hickey got his traditional 3-year-old meal of mac and cheese, which it did look good.
With bacon and chicken. It was delicious.
Now, they did want to put mushrooms in it, and I'm allergic to mushrooms. And you ordered no mushrooms. I thought that was a good move by you.
No mushrooms. I never heard of mushrooms and mac and cheese. And today, listen, I will be exploratory on this trip. I did not want to start with mushrooms and mac and cheese as a new path to go down. We'll say that.
So you're not a big onion ring guy. Will you eat the onion ring tomorrow?
I'll let you have it.
But here's the thing.
Like, unless, is an onion ring that different in Kansas City?
But here's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Unless you are allergic to something, I think when you come to a place that you've never been before and they're known for food, like barbecue food, I think you need to try the things as they make it or else you don't get the full experience.
But I know what onion rings taste like.
But you don't know what it tastes like covered in cheese and brisket.
Fine. You want me to try the onion ring? I'll try the onion ring, all right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And don't ask for spare ribs when when they have the ribs, all right, on the bone.
Because I will
eat
them right off the rack.
Oh, you will. So you won't go like how you usually eat chicken nuggets when you ask for chicken wings because you don't like bone-in wings.
I will. Listen, I'm not opposed to bone-in wings. I prefer boneless, but I do eat bone-in. So, yes, I will eat ribs off the rack. I was going to say bone-in ribs, so that wouldn't have sounded correct or like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. Odds right now for the number 2 overall pick. Do you think you could name the highest odds, the first 5 highest odds for the number 2 overall pick?
In terms of players, right? And not like the number?
Players. Yeah.
Will Levis is definitely number 1.
Okay. I'm just going to write down the
okay.
Name.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, betting-wise, Will Levis number 1. Even though the mock drafts are saying Tyree Wilson more over Will Anderson Jr., I do not think the books have caught up yet. I will say Will Anderson Jr. being the betting favorite numero dos.
Mm-hmm.
I will say number 3 will be followed by Tyree Wilson. I will say the fourth highest odds to go number two will be Anthony Richardson. And I will say the fifth highest odds, I guess I'll go CJ Stroud, play it safe here, and go with the Ohio State quarterback. How many did I get right?
The current odds, in order?
In order.
You said Will Levis won?
Will Levis won.
That is correct. Boom. At plus 220.
One for one.
Then you went Will Anderson two?
Correct.
Technically, you're not wrong because he's tied for a second.
With?
Tyree Wilson.
Oh, I mean, I...
So in order, the judge, yeah. I'll give it to you.
I would count that as one. Okay, so we're 3 for 3. People say I don't get anything right. Look out. Don't let me get hot. Can we go 4 for 4 here? Anthony Richardson.
Let me ask you this. Do you think you're getting hot?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're not hot anymore now. CJ Stroud will be fourth.
Hmm.
And then you're not even right on your fifth one of CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud's at plus 320. Bryce Young is at plus 850.
Jeez.
And then Anthony Richardson is at plus 1,000. So you got Will Levis at plus 220, Tyree Wilson at plus 230, Will Anderson plus 230, CJ Stroud plus 320, Bryce Young plus 850, and Anthony Richardson plus 1,000. And I'll tell you this, I cannot believe for a second, if the Texans hold the pick and they don't trade it, which is a possibility, that they're going to take Will Levis. I think this decision is really between Tyree Wilson now and Will Anderson. It feels like they're going to pass on CJ Stroud. I don't think they should pass on CJ Stroud, but it does feel like this is between Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson Jr. And we know how much, right, the Texans have been linked to the Alabama guys. Right? They love Will Anderson. They love Bryce Young. But recently, a lot of people are saying Tyree Wilson. I saw even Peter Schrager said that as well. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll do an onsides offside edition for the NFL draft coming on back in 5 minutes. And Jackson Smith and Jigba will join us in 25 minutes.